punk and the schooner. No one is punk and the schooner. No one is punk and the schooner. No one is punk and the schooner.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, it's show number 51 of Noise Punk and Das Crooner. I am Das Crooner. Gene, who are you?
Yo, I'm Noise Punk. Yo, what's going on? All right, take two of show number 51. We'd had one take, but the mics were bad, so we're doing another one.
You know, you didn't have to tell them that. Why would they know?
Because they were here. They saw me. Those bastards. Anyway, welcome to Noise Punk.
We got paparazzi after us. We should all be so lucky.
Welcome to Noise Punk show number Dust Crooner with 51 show. Today we have a special guest, an entity. Not just a person, but an entity. Our guest is Composer's Concordance. And we're going to have three directors from Composer's Concordance, but we're down to two. One of the directors is sick. Extra, extra. Read all about it.
You know, not sick like in
He's
the head.
He's sick in the head. He's ill.
No, we mean ill. Yeah, we mean like profoundly, terminally ill.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Okay, kidding,
he
Dan.
He just got his penis cut in the toaster.
Sorry, Dan. Cooper, that is.
Anyway, so today's guest is Composer's Concordance, and we have the two directors. One director is Joe Pearson. Say hi, Joe.
Hello there. Hi, everyone.
And
hello.
The other director is Gene Pritzker. That will be me. Hello.
Hello. And occasional participant Charles Coleman. Hello. Hello.
Charles, you heard nothing.
You
will be silent.
You will be silent.
Now, usually we'll ask the composer who is here about his life, and please tell us when your sister was married and all that type of stuff. But what are you talking about? But today we're going to ask Joseph a different question. We're going to ask Joseph, who is the original founder of Composer's Concordance, about Composer's Concordance. Joe, please tell us a little about
Composer's. Okay, well, actually, one of two founders. The other founder is Patrick Hardish also. And this goes way back to 1983. This is our corporate...
Way back
to 26 years ago. And we started it... Pat was doing concerts in Sulzberger Parlor in Columbia. And then we decided to team up and do some concerts. We started doing them in...
Jail. Jail?
We did. We started doing them in Lincoln
you
Center
got a pretty
at the
mouth
library.
There.
And about that time, in fact, on our first concert, which was at the library at Lincoln Center, we featured Otto Luening, who became a mentor and an advisor to us, and one of his students and also assistants is now the missing at the moment in action director of Composer's Concordance, Dan Cooper, who served as his amanuensis. Writing everything down, and also his assistant. He is actually the world's, I believe, foremost authority on Otto Luening. And in any case, we're going to do a piece of Otto's now.
Yes, we should, but okay. Where are you in the history? Read a little more.
So
Otto Luening did what?
We decided that we were working together with Patrick and be producing concerts, get our incorporation, 501c3 and so forth. And after the featuring Otto Luening at Bruno Walter Auditorium, we did early concerts at Christ and St. Stephen's, and we actually did Weill Hall, at Carnegie Recital Hall, as it was called back then, and the New School, Middle Collegiate Church, with electronic concert, all kinds of different things.
So let me set the stage. This is what, the 80s, you're saying?
This was around, at this time, it was like 1986, actually.
So this is back in the 80s, okay? Madonna's got something on the... On the radio, there's break dancers.
Like a virgin. Hey!
Yes. Charles is singing in the Metropolitan Opera, being molested by what's his name?
Oh!
Talking to Mike when you
shush,
do.
Gene.
So, and Joseph Pearson and Patrick Hardrish are starting this brand new organization, brand new back then, and one of their mentors is a cat who is, Hull was also in the 80s. He was,
He's always the year that it is. So if he's 86,
he was born in 1900s.
He was indeed.
Wow, so he was 86 years old, and he's mentoring them. And we'd like to go and listen to a piece of Otto's, and we're gonna tie this in. Otto is the guy back in 86 mentoring these two young composers, and now Otto's dead, of course. But we are in 2010 we are starting a record label called Composed Concordance Records, and our first CD release will feature a violin piece of Otto Luening, and I would like to play one movement of that violin piece. And this is Lynn Bechtold playing an Otto Luening violin piece whose title I will tell you after you hear it.
Thank you.
Music of Otto Luening, Fantasia and Dance by Otto Luening. Lynn Bechtold was the solo violinist in that, and that is one of a number of pieces featured in an upcoming album courtesy of Composer's Concordance here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Well, the album is going to be called Ballets and Solos, and there will be three ballets, one by me, one by Joseph Pearson, one by Dan Cooper. There will be three pieces by Otto Luening, a percussion solo piece by Patrick Hardish, and another guitar piece by myself.
So we just gave you a little nibble for
We'll probably be playing more of that album throughout.
Just a little
but
bit
let's
more.
Let's go on with the history of Composer's Concordance. So they
yes, Joe Pearson for the second time on the show.
They yes. They met Otto Luening, and he was their sponsor or mentor.
Right, and you know, one of the reasons I was thinking about this is this kind of payback time with Otto Luening. Otto Luening. With us, anyway, didn't spend a lot of time on our music. What he was really interested in was something even more important to composers than worrying about people's styles. What he was interested in is how to help us get our music out there and to survive in the real world.
Absolutely.
So he was spent a lot of time with us trying to figure out just how to run a group and you know, how to keep it solvent and what to do. And he had his finger in everything in New York and did for many, many years. He was one of the founders of the American Music Center. He was one of the founders of the CRI recordings. And in fact, most of the new music activities in town around that time he had helped establish. And so, you know, he was very active, proactive in all those kinds of things. And so in a way, I think that's one reason that he helped so many people out. That keep his name in circulation even today and are playing his music and so forth. So we went on, and we got a corporation, and through the help of Brenda Hochberg, who's a lawyer who helped us and is still helping us today, 26 years later, incredibly enough. Yeah, she just helped us recently, in fact. Bill Holub, a composer, and who's done a lot of music engraving, he also was working with us, and still helps us with some of our print materials and so forth. Around 1989, we settled in for several concerts at Cammie Hall, which is across the street from Carnegie Hall, and some of them were quite successful. We had one electronic music concert that I remember. In fact, it's one of the first times I met Kyle Gann. He showed up there, and it was pretty filled, like about 130 people. We did a lot of very modern technology for that time, including like interactive electronics and stuff like that, which in 1989 was pretty progressive. I think we had even somebody from PC Magazine and some of the computer publications because they couldn't believe we'd actually carried it off. Then we went on. Around 1990, we got acquainted with some other people, Frank Wigglesworth. I don't believe we have samples of the music right now of some of these composers. I wish we did. We had met Frank Wigglesworth, and he introduced us to Francis Thorne, who is a significant presence in town and also was very significant on the board of the Virgil Thompson Foundation. And this was very important for us because we got Virgil Thompson Foundation funding for about 9 years, as I recall. Yeah. And it happened every year until they've fairly recently changed the mandate of that you just have to play Virgil Thompson's music. But we had year after year of consistent funding from that foundation. So those are some of the things that we were doing at that time, and maybe we should, I guess we're going to play one of Patrick Hardish's pieces.
Unfortunately, we don't have the piece here, but we have it online, but I don't know if you could download it to your computer online.
Oh, yeah, because I think it's set up so you can only hear.
Yeah, so I don't think we'll be able to play a Patrick piece from back then, but we could continue playing pieces from our upcoming album.
That's a good idea.
And there is a piece by Patrick Hardish for drum set, for solo drum set, played by Peter Jarvis, and the piece is called One for Pete, I believe, for drum set solo. And again, this is on that same album, Composer's Concordance, and we're playing some of this album here, but actually it's not really the final mix. The album's gonna come out in September. The label's gonna really launch in September, and we're still in process and mixing and mastering these things. So this is not the final product. And we'll certainly talk about the final product when it's there.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
But we definitely would like to. We should play, I think, a piece by Patrick, and then after talk a little more about Composer Concordance, and then play a piece by Joseph Pearson, who's
it's about time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very honored to be, I believe, the first recidivist, right?
Yes.
The first time you are the second guest.
I've produced my crime. Second.
Mind you, you're wearing a different hat, sort of, right?
I am indeed. No, I'm the corporate entity at the moment. Mm-hmm. And out of body experience, but yes, but very honored, of course. Believe
like
it or
the process
not.
Of composition in general.
Exactly. Like, yes. Anyway. Yes. Definitely.
So, guys.
Okay. So,
making me sleepy with your talk. Here's a drum set piece by Patrick Hardish called "One for Pete," as performed by Peter Jarvis. We'll be right back.
Music of Patrick Hardish. One for Pete, as in Peter Jarvis, the percussionist in that performance. This will be, again, this is part of another album courtesy courtesy of Composers Concordance, our guest here, our Noise, Punk, and Dust crooner, sort of.
Let's go on with the story of Composers Concordance, Joseph.
Please. Ah, yes, here's the tale told by an idiot.
Here he is. Sound of Fury.
Signifying nothing.
And so we continue on. After we did our concerts at Cammy Hall, we met, as I say, Francis Thorne, and we got some more funding. And then, at this time, Patrick found a new venue for us over on the east side of town, in 1993, Kosciuszko Foundation. And that was really a very nice place because they had a wonderful place for receptions. The highlight of every concert. If you hate a concert, at least you can go and have a good time chowing down afterward.
Now
you talk. So, yeah, see, you know the story.
Charles doesn't really like music.
Yeah, Charles.
Fat.
So.
Hey,
so,
pot calling the kettle black, yo. Go ahead.
So, anyway, it was a very, actually, a rather elegant space for a chamber, and affordable back then, as he says. Get the drift. So, anyway, I shouldn't say. Sorry, Kosciuszko Foundation.
They don't care, man. They don't listen
anyway,
to us
anyway. Anyway, back then it was a wonderful place and rather elegant and nice. We did probably 9 concerts, a number of concerts there. That's the time that we started affiliation with the New Music Connoisseur around 1994. And then a very significant activity event happened around that time. We came into contact with a truly deranged individual, Gene Pritzker.
Oh, that would be
through the American Composers Forum around 1995.
Yes.
He was volunteered actually to help us do many videos of concerts. I bet he videoed about 5 concerts or more over the years for us. And in the meantime, he was doing his own concerts with Dan Barrett. Even back then, they called him something like...
you mean Bohemia Unlimited?
Bohemia Unlimited concerts, mm-hmm. And some of them were in Kastabi Loft.
Kastabi World, that was Absolute.
Oh, okay, that was Absolute.
Ensemble Chamber, music okay, from a chamber. But, I was doing a lot of concerts. As you
yeah, there were a lot of concerts going on at that time. Anyway, so I guess we're going to then segue now into... one of my
work? A piece of yours, yes.
And so this piece is called Blacklight. This was a piece written, let's see, around, I would say...
2002.
Mm-hmm. And thank you. And that was done in an unusual tuning system, so if it sounds a little weird, it's supposed to. It's very close to just intonation, something called Blackjack, which is a 21-note system. That's very close to just intonation, but very easy to notate. And I won't go into all the details, but it makes it much, much easier to play and not too difficult. And Dan does a great job of it here.
Dan Barrett on cello.
First guest.
And the very, very first guest, and also the inimitable organizer of the Street Cannibals.
International Street Cannibals, that is.
Which will segue into... Dan Barrett will be performing this piece on Indeed. May 5th at St. Mark's Church at 8:30 p.m. at an International Street Cannibals that we are putting on called Desperately Seeking Igor. So it's 80s meets Igor Stravinsky. We're going to be doing some Soldier's Tale, a premiere of a trio of mine, a breakdancer doing some breakdancing to Petrushka, and Blackjack by Joseph Pearson.
That fits like a glove.
So, without further ado, Dan Barrett playing Joseph Pearson's
Blacklight for cello and electronics, featuring our cellist Dan Barrett, composer extraordinary, crazy musician extraordinaire, here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner.
Thank you. Thank you.
Backlight for cello and electronics in the 21-note near-just intonation blackjack scale. Composed by our guest, Joseph Pearson, courtesy of Composer's Concordance, here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Well, let's continue the story of Composer's Concordance. So we're in about mid-90s right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. The clock is ticking here. We got the mid-90s going on. We met Gene Pritzker, which turned out to be very instrumental over the years because... And Charles Coleman here.
And Dan Barrett.
And Dan Barrett, we just heard. All these people were involved actually with an organization called the American Composers Forum around that time. We met them all and hung out some places around. A lot of fun back those days. We reminisce. Anyway, so we go ahead. And Barry Cohen, at this time a New Music Connoisseur, around 1994, became associated with us, which is an affiliated publication. We started... all of us have written. I don't know if you've written anything, Charles, for that, but I know Gene has and I have over the years. New Music Connoisseur, did you ever
pay
write?
Pay attention,
that?
Charles.
Okay.
Pay attention.
But a lot of, but a lot of people, a lot of musicians have, and a lot of people associated with Composer's Concordance have written preview articles and all kinds of other commentary in the magazine. The magazine also was a good vehicle for Composer's Concordance, describing a lot of our activities. So that started in 1994, and Bill Rhodes then
Bill Rhodes,
came in,
right?
And Bill Rhodes was very involved early on, even more than he is at the present time. He wanted to, in fact, his idea, the first idea, was to bring more popular music into the group and also to take it into the clubs, into different venues. So he was really the first to start to do this before anyone else. So he joined as an associate director in 1999. And so he began suggesting these alternate concerts. We also did a big concert at Miller Theater. This one of our largest concerts, which was actually a collaboration with George Steele, whom many of you know is the director of City Opera at the moment. And he was at that time head of Miller Theater and worked with us on a co-production of works by Sebastian Currier and Ornette Coleman. And it was very, very cool meeting Ornette Coleman because, of course, I'd listened to his records over the years, but never actually met him and had him call me Joe. And I mean, God.
Hey, Joe!
It's like, you know, Ornette Coleman? Okay, all right. All right. So anyway, it was a great pleasure to work with him. And we had, you know, a lot of people there, about 300 people. It was a good audience. You remember that, Gene? You were
there,
remember?
Yeah, I was there.
It was a big deal. So around 1996... something else very important happened to us. We got acquainted with Dinu Getso. Well, we actually knew him before, but we had an arrangement with him wherein he made it possible for us to use facilities at NYU, the Lowe Theater. And that continued on for about 10 years, 1996 to 2006. So that was, in addition to the Kosciuszko Foundation, we used the Lowe Theater frequently, I mean, every year at least once for Composer's Concordance. And it's a really nice theater and quite spacious, so we had many concerts there and very good ones too. We had Meet the Composer grants all the way along, and my wife Linda Pass did a lot of interviewing of the composers. These grants back in those days were fairly easy to get. You could almost guarantee getting them. They weren't a lot of money, but composers would almost always get them locally. They're almost impossible to get nowadays. It's turned into a national kind of group, but at that time John Duffy's group had those, and we would have little interviews of the composers almost every time. So people got used to the idea of having interviews at Composers Concordance concerts of the composers and some great pieces. And then we had we went on a few other places, Washington Square Church in Greenwich Village, which had a in 2003 we had a very well attended concert, about 90 people there. Frank O'Terry had a piece on a Woodwind Contender. We played Dan Cooper's string quartet on that concert in February 2003. In fact, I think are we going to be playing a piece of Dan's now, or we're going to wait?
I think
we're going ahead, because now we've gone to 2004, and this is an important moment because at this time, Bill Rhodes had been active with these alternative concerts, but it crossed my mind that there's a very enterprising young gentleman, or gentleman is stretching the word, but a person, Gene Pritzker, who we'd known for a while, and I thought, well, maybe you know, he would be interested in helping us with these alternate concerts, and it turned out to be a very prescient decision on my part, as it was actually adding Dan Cooper later on, but I'm not bragging. Having Gene involved was very, very important, because he did a bunch of dynamite concerts at the Cutting Room, and only he had the patience to stay on the telephone and call the management at the Cutting Room 300 times in order to secure the times for this concert, which he did every concert. And unfortunately, but we did get these wonderful dates at the Cutting Room, which no longer exists. But it was a wonderful venue, and we did some really hip stuff. We did a first concert with kind of improvisations.
Improvisionaries. And we did a guitar concert there.
And we did a full guitar concert.
And the Cutting Room was co-owned by Chris Noth, the actor who used to be on Law & Order and Second City.
Who cares?
I think he's an awesome actor. But
They had awesome food there, too.
Seriously,
they had really good food.
He's a good actor.
Who's calling us?
Who is it? We had some really good attendance at some of those concerts.
So let's stop there for a second. Let's play a piece from there.
We're gonna play now one of Gene's pieces, because
from that very first Cutting Room concert
Improvisionaries.
Improvisionaries. Mm-hmm. And this was a piece I wrote for myself and Dave Taylor on trombone, who was a big part of this concert.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. It was awesome, intense, and awesome.
Intense and awesome, says Charles Coleman. Do you have any other words?
No,
for
that'll
us?
Do. No, if I say too much, I'll give it away.
If he says too much, he'll give it away. And
what? You sound
sorry.
Like...
I forgot what the name of the piece was. The name of the piece was Poem Number 2.
Here on Noise Punk
and based. Shut the fuck up, man.
Yes.
I'm gonna finish.
What?
Based on
Hurry
a poem
up.
By Charles Baudelaire called "The Carcass" for bass, trombone, electric guitar, and this piece also uses lots and lots of microtones. In fact, one of the strings of the guitar is tuned microtonally, so I could get a lot.
Scordatura.
Yes, so I could get a lot of quarter tones. So, poem number 2 by
Gene Pritzker.
Thank you. Didn't want to say my name on a.
Here I'm.
Performed by.
Gene Pritzker
and Dave Taylor.
And Dave Taylor here on Noise Punk and Dust Cruder.
Thank you. Thank you.
Quasi psychedelic indeed. Poem number two by Gene Pritzker, a.k.a. Noise Punk. That was him on the guitar along with the great Dave Taylor, bass trombonist and former guest of Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Indubitably.
And that was a live concert at...
From the Cutting Room. We had a little concert series for 3 or 4 or 5 years. I forgot how many.
Courtesy of Composer's Concordance.
Composer's Concordance. So, let's get further into Composer's Concordance. Let's keep going a little more. Joe,
yeah, we'll keep going here on the little bit of the history. Mm-hmm. But that's a hip piece, by the way. I want to just say... I'd written a piece also for Dave Taylor, but that guitar is a great foil for that, the bass, the way that goes there.
Ooh, humility Cats. On the part of Joseph Pearson.
Well, nice part. Really, that's a really, really hip work there.
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Aww. Okay, so anyway. So we're going ahead here with our little bit of our history. We then went on in 2006. Based actually, Barry Cohen had actually done some concerts, a fundraiser at Greenwich House School of Music, the Rennie Waller Auditorium. So we moved our series over there in 2006, and we did several concerts. Let's say about 3 years or so there, including the 25th anniversary series season of the Composer's Concordance.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. And we also did an interesting experiment with a. Taking the from the cutting room to the Setipani restaurant in Harlem.
So we're
getting around, going into cool concert. We went to a different area town, met some other folks, in Harlem, and really added to our demography. Meaning we met some other people going on up there, and so in 2009 we completely revamped our directorial structure of Composer's Concordance. We added Dan Cooper, as I mentioned, was Otto Luening's primary assistant. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to give some of the younger people kind of more of an equal footing in the organization and bring it on to kind of a new generation of things happening. These are people that have been a long time associated with it, but we essentially have Gene Pritzker and Dan Cooper now fully part of the organization as directors. So we're all kind of sharing the responsibilities here as we move forward. And this leads into our most recent activities, which include 2008-2009, we did a concert at the Chelsea Art Museum, which Dan Cooper mostly spearheaded, or at least some of the arrangements there. And then Gene Pritzker has been actually the main point person in a couple of our concerts, a couple of the ideas of our concerts, 2009-2010, our last series. He came up with this idea of contrast concerts, where we'd have different players who play different instruments, playing contrasting instruments. Let's say we'd have like a Melanie Mitrano. Well, we did have Melanie Mitrano, soprano, did a part half of a program and contrasted it with Peter Jarvis.
Skins and Breath,
the percussionist. So we used really two entirely different instruments there, and we're going to be continuing these themes. And Gene also came up with another concept and a location, that the Drome, which is down a wonderful club down in the Lower East Side, very hip spot, and we had wonderful visuals with the people that he knows that we're now closely associated with too, Astrid Steiner, who is now our director of video for Composer's Concordance, and she did some wonderful projections on the walls. We had a marathon composers playing composers. I think it's one of our highest visibility concerts that we've ever done. In fact, we've brought also some music from it. The pieces were short. One of the reasons the pieces were short was that we had altogether, what was it,
24 composers playing their own pieces.
So,
and I think since Charles Coleman is here, and he was one of the composers, what we did with Charles Coleman, Franz Hackel, and myself, wrote three pieces for the same instrumentation, which was Charles Coleman on baritone voice, me on guitar, steel string acoustic, and Franz on trumpet. And we played these at the beginning of each section. There was three sections. We started off each section.
Three sections of the concert.
Of the concert with one of these pieces. And we'd like to play for you Charles's piece right now, which is called...
Hello.
All the pieces were based on Charles Coleman's...
Were settings of poems of my father, Val Coleman.
Val Coleman, yes.
And so this is one of my dad's great... My dad being a great writer. This is a Hello setting of my dad's poem, Val Coleman here on Noise Punk and Dust Crew.
You doesn't mean it sarcastically, or you say hello.
Just hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Here in Noise Punk and Dust Crew.
What the fuck's going on?
Music of Charles Coleman, a.k.a. Das Kruner. That's me.
That's you.
Yes, thank you, Joseph Pearson.
Hello.
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 For Hello. Baritone, guitar, and trumpet. That was myself on vocals, Gene Pritzker on guitar, Franz Hockel on trumpet. And that was at a live concert at Drome, which was done courtesy of the Composer's Concordance, our guest here on Noise Punk and Das Kruner.
So being
with representatives Gene Pritzker and Joseph Pearson.
Being one of the directors myself, I would like to take this opportunity to talk about future projects of Composer's Concordance. So the year we have coming up, 2010-2011 year, we will have we'll have again the Contrast Concert, which we're thinking of contrasting winds and strings. That will be either held at the Austrian Cultural Forum, maybe the Players Theater. We're not sure yet, but we definitely want to work with the Austrian Cultural Forum because a hip
very,
place.
Very hip.
We're going to do another marathon of composers, play composers with 24 or more or less other composers. Again, at Drome, we hope. And the directors always stay on. And Chelsea Art Museum, there's a concert coming on in June right now. June 9th, 2010. There's a concert with lots of good music of Dan Cooper, Dan Polkowski, and a host of other people. So come on the composersconcordance.org website. The composersconcordance.org, right?
Mm-hmm. And remember, this is 2010, not 2000.
I already said 10,000. I said 2010. Don't fuck with me, man. I said it. Fuck you, man.
Sorry.
Kruner. fucking Kruner. And, of course, our big project is the release launch of this new record label, Composer's Concordance Records, with distribution by Naxos. And our first record, we have Ballets and Solos, which we played some things for you already, and we will play some more. The next record will probably be composed. Concordance presents the International Street Cannibals in the electronic and acoustic music of Gene Pritzker. Then there's a record called Song Cycles, where we're going to have a bunch of song cycles with music by Pearson, Coleman, Hackle, Kobo, a host of people. And album that we have also planned of the duo Zentripetal, which is Jan DeVore and Lynn Bechtold, violin and cello. So those are four albums that will be probably released in 2010, early 2011, starting September. We're going to whip these motherfuckers out.
Exciting project. A new direction for Composer Concordance.
Yes, we're going to do some serious albums, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's
good. I'm happy to be a participant in all of this.
Yes, he is.
Yay, Charles. Give it out.
Reaping the benefits of your work.
Give it out, Charles. Did you say raping?
We're raping the benefits of your work.
We're raping the benefits of your work. All right, so we're going to...
Raping money, but go ahead.
We're going to... What?
Nothing. I said a bad joke.
We're going to end... we're going to play two more selections, short selections. One is Joseph Pearson's piece, Good Time, from the album Ballets and Solos, which will probably start off the album. This is one of the ballets, and we'll play that piece in full because it's kind of short. And then we will play right after that a movement, or maybe two, we'll see how it feel, of Dan Cooper's mini ballet suite, also from the same album. And I also have a ballet in there, but we won't play that today. I don't want to give it all away. Soon this album will be out, and you need to go and buy it. So, without further ado, this is actually the International Street Cannibals Ensemble, Dan Barry conducting, with a septet or a sextet, I forgot. Is it a septet or a sextet? What do we got? Flute, bass clarinet, violin, cello, trumpet, guitar, a sextet of players.
It's actually, here it is. Mm-hmm. Linda Weatherall with flute, Michio Suzuki, bass clarinet, Thomas Gantz, trumpet.
It's Franz Hackl.
Oh, Franz Hackl on this recording, I'm sorry. This is Gene Pritzker here on the steel string guitar, Lynn Bechtold, violin, Leo Grinhaus, cello, and conducted by Dan Barrett. And actually, it's called Good Time partially because originally it was the choreographer, Alan Good, who did these ballets.
Good time, that's right. Okay, so we have Good Time and a few movements from Mini Ballet by Dan Cooper.
Here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner. We'll be right back. two movements from Dan Cooper's Mini Ballet. And prior to that, we heard a work of Joseph Pearson entitled
Good Times.
Good Times. Not to be confused with the famous 70s TV show. In any case, those are the two, Joseph Pearson and Dan Cooper, both the representatives and bosses of Composers Concordance, our guest here on Noise Punk and
Dust Crooner. And that's from an album that will be out in September called Ballets and Solos.
Yes.
Composers Concordance presents.
Awesome!
Dan Barrett conducting the International Street Cannibals Ensemble.
Oh my goodness. A variety, a wide variety. So you've just
Charles Coleman is a big fat homosexual. Oh, sorry.
What?
That's not...
I'm not big and fat. Anyway.
But the other thing.
Yeah, the
listen, guys. Don't tell me. I'm going to say thank you, Joseph, for coming.
And once again, the website with regard to Composers Concordance.
www.composersconcordance.org.
Spell it out like you did before, like you did in the beginning.
Oh, come on. People know how to spell Concordance.
C-O-M. I can't do it.
C-O-M.
Poser.
P-O-S-E-R-S C-O-N-C-O-R-D-A-N-C-E .org.
There you go. It's official. And thank you, Joseph. It's awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Second time, our first time, we had a second a guest for the second time on our program. Show 51.
51 with Composers Concordance. And?
Is that what I think it is?
I think it is.
It's the theme music. And until next time, noise to you.
Noise punk and the Scrooner. Noise punk and the Scrooner. Noise punk and the Scrooner.